The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network. Hello and welcome to The Beautiful Game. I'm Dan Taylor, your host, and I'll be flying solo with this podcast as due to scheduling conflicts, our regular panellists, Pete Gastel and Kyle West, were unable to be with us this week. Last weekend, we saw two controversial decisions that potentially changed the course of two high-profile Premier League fixtures. And today, we'll be looking at how diving and bad refereeing are affecting the modern game. But first, we take a look at our Game of the Week.
Game of the Week.
Sure it comes, as no surprise, that our Game of the Week this week takes place on Sunday at Stamford Bridge between Chelsea and Man United. Chelsea are currently 9 games unbeaten in all competitions, and Jose Mourinho will be looking to uphold his 70-game unbeaten run at home in the league. However, it will be wrong to underestimate the Red Devils, and that's certainly the statement that was released by Jose Mourinho this week, as he said Man United are definitely a match for his side, and he even believes that Man United are still not out of the title race just yet. But let's get real, shall we, here. Man United are currently missing Robin Van Persie and Wayne Rooney, who, in my opinion, was the best player last season, and Wayne Rooney this season. So having those two players out of the side, I just can't see Chelsea having any problems here, particularly at home. And I think they're just getting started now. They're getting up and going, and they're getting back to the Mourinho way of playing. They are a lot tighter at the back. They've only conceded one goal in the last 6 in all competitions, which came against Liverpool. They're a lot more organised in midfield. They've got players like Hazard and Oscar really firing at all cylinders now, and those two are particularly impressive for me. And the one that surprised me most, I think, is actually Ramirez. I've been a bit of a critic of his in the past, but he's been really impressive for me this season, and he's held that midfield together really, really well. Even in attack, where I believe they're really missing a big number 9, and I think he will come in the summer if he doesn't come in January, they're still looking okay. They've got Torres starting to regain some kind of form now, and he is getting a goal here and there, and that's what they want to see from their strikers. And even though Etu hasn't quite settled into it yet, you know, I think he potentially is a good backup and a good bench warmer, as it were, a very expensive one at that, but still. And I kind of want to see Demba Ba given a chance, because I think he's a decent striker, maybe not Chelsea quality, and I was surprised when he went there in the first place. But I kind of wish that Jose Mourinho would give him a go. But ultimately, we're talking about them signing a big number 9 in the summer. That'll have Lukaku coming back into it, and as long as it's not a personal thing between him and Mourinho, you know, as long as Mourinho is happy to work with him, then I could see him being their big number 9 in years to come. The new Drogba, as has been dubbed by a lot of critics. And then there's Man United. And as I've already said, they really don't offer much without Van Persie and Wayne Rooney in the side. I really don't think the quality is there. Certainly not up to the standard. And we've talked about it in previous podcasts, but I think Fergie in recent seasons has been the deciding factor. You know, this isn't a very good Man United side at all. But then I think even with Alex Ferguson in charge of this game, I don't think Man United could come out winners, certainly. Their recent form has been pretty poor. They've only won 3 in the last 6. They lost the other 3 in all competitions, conceding defeat in the Cup, obviously, against Sunderland, Swansea, and then obviously in the league against Tottenham. So it's been very indifferent for them, and despite winning their last game against Swansea, I think they're going to struggle here. And while I can't see it being an emphatic win, because that's just not Jose Mourinho's way, and certainly not this season, they've been grinding out kind of 1-0 wins, 2-1 wins. So I can't see it being emphatic. I can't see it being a big scoreline. So I'm going to go for a very safe 2-0 home win for Chelsea. And now on to our main topic for this week, which is the debate between bad refereeing and diving, which is ruining the modern game. So I have 2 ways to look at this argument, and both come from examples from this weekend's games. The first is bad refereeing, which comes from the Man City versus Newcastle game, which took place at St James' Park last weekend, and ultimately saw Newcastle slump to a 2-0 defeat at home. However, the decision made just before the 45-minute mark was a game-changing moment for Newcastle. They were 1-0 down, and it was a goal. Let's face it, it was a goal. Chiek Tiote curling it in from the left-hand side, completely out of reach from Joe Hart, the Man City keeper. However, the referee disallowed the goal as there were 3 Newcastle players offside. Okay, offside, you say, that's fine. They're saying Johan Gouffran was basically in the line of sight of Joe Hart. However, it wasn't a decision that was made right away. And that's where the main issue I have with this decision comes. Because it took probably 2 or 3 minutes for the decision to be made that the goal was disallowed. In fact, a whole celebration had been done. Sky Sports had updated the score to say that it was 1-1. However, the goal was disallowed right at the last moment in time. Mike Jones, the referee, wrongly or rightly, disallowed the goal after consulting with his linesman, despite the fact that the flag didn't actually go up until after Joe Hart had protested that Gaufferon and two other Newcastle players were offside, and after the goal had been awarded by the referee. So it's really a strange decision, and it's not actually the decision itself that bugs me, it's the fact that the amount of time it took between actually Mike Jones awarding the goal and then taking it away, because the goal initially stood. And as replays will show, Gaufferon was not in Joe Hart's line of sight at all. In fact, yes, they were in an offside position, and in the laws of the game, that can be seen as an offside. Well, they are in an offside position, so ultimately we can kind of understand why the goal was disallowed. And had the referee, Mike Jones, disallowed that goal straight away from the off, then perhaps we wouldn't be complaining now. But it's the fact they had to consult the linesman and, well, basically, from what it seemed on camera, argue with the linesman about the decision and then disallow the goal, and that's where the issue really lies. However, that wasn't the only difficult decision that was made this weekend. But with all due respect to referee Anthony Taylor, this decision we probably all would have given ourselves. However, the controversial decision isn't in the decision by the referee himself. It's actually by the decision made by the player. In this circumstance, it's Raheem Sterling of Liverpool. It was the game against Stoke. It was 2 apiece, and we're in the second half now. And Raheem Sterling goes down very easily after a tackle, which then ended in a penalty being awarded, which Steven Gerrard, obviously, as Steven Gerrard does, put away with ease. However, it's been argued by many that Raheem Sterling ultimately went down far, far too easily. And this is what we're talking about now, is diving. And it's become almost part and parcel of the game within the last 5 years, with the influx of foreign players that we've had within the English game. We've almost become like a prima donna sport, where any kind of contact, where we're a bit physical or a bit tougher than perhaps Spanish or the French leagues, it seems to actually go against us, because you've got players like Sterling, like Ashley Young, like Anjanizine, who's coming out of the Man United squad now, you know, is rising into success, and already he is becoming a culprit of diving far, far too often, and isn't being caught out enough. And this is where the argument comes, is should players be punished more for diving? Are they getting away far too easily? Because ultimately they're doing it to win their side points. And I'm sure it's almost being instilled into them by their coaches and by the teams themselves, that if they're not in a goal-scoring position, if they can't pass to someone on their side, instead, just dive. If you're in a good position for your free kick specialist, or if you're inside the area where you know someone's going to put it away from the penalty spot, then just dive. Just go over very easily, even if the player makes minimal contact, or in some cases, and we saw it a few weeks ago with Adam Yanazine, and at the start of the season with Ashley Young, no contact at all, just go to ground and the referee will award a free kick or a penalty. The referee shouldn't be punished for making this decision, because ultimately, like Anthony Taylor, you can be in a position where it can look like the player makes quite obvious contact, and if you were in that position, you can see that player going down. You can't blame the referee for making that decision. However, the FA should be looking at video evidence, looking back as we can now with so much technology that we have at our fingertips, where we can look back at close proximity, where we can actually look what contact is made between the player and the opposition player. And we should be able to look at it and go, okay, that's a dive. And in that situation, should the FA be making harsher punishments for these players to discourage them from doing it in future? Because right now, there is no punishment. Divers are getting away with it. Yes, in the media, they're being scathed, but they're still doing it. They're still going out and doing it. After this, the whole controversy with Ashley Young at the start of the season, Yanazine, another Man United player, is going out and he's diving and he's getting away with it. So what are the FA going to do about it? I've seen on Twitter and on Facebook, and I've asked in recent weeks about this, you know, what punishment can we give to these players? And some suggestions is that we actually deduct points from clubs. We actually take 3 points away. Or, as my fellow panellist Kyle West mentioned to me earlier, we take 2 points away and give a point to another club, to ultimately as if it was a draw, particularly in 1-0 situations where a club has benefited and gotten 3 points out of a dive. However, then you get into dangerous territory in my head, because then should you be deducting points for other offences? Luis Suarez, for example, should we be deducting points for his racial slurs or for him biting Borislav Ivanovic last season? Should we be deducting points for that? So I think as soon as you start deducting points, even for diving, you're then getting into dangerous territory where you start deducting points for every small thing, and it becomes like habit, and it ruins the game completely. The logical way of getting diving out of the game for me is by actually punishing the player, by fining the player or fining the club, and also by suspending that player for an amount of time, 3 games, 5 games, or as we've already seen, 8 games for diving. If it's a repeatable offence, then they should be punished. And we are seeing players more and more often diving, and it is ruining the game. And in my opinion, this is my argument, that actually it's diving that is ruining the modern game, not bad refereeing. Bad refereeing has been around for many, many years. Decisions are always going to be controversial. However, diving, we can all unanimously agree, is wrong and is ruining the game. So that's why I think the FA should be introducing harsher punishments for diving. We should be seeing Ashley Young, Adnan Januzaj, and Raheem Sterling being given 3-match bans for these dives, which will hopefully discourage not only the player, but hopefully discourage the clubs from encouraging it. You know, I've not got any evidence that this is happening, but it must be happening. If Man United have had 2 or 3 cases, and you look at Cristiano Ronaldo as well in the past, 2 or 3 cases where they have got diving players, and I'm sure they're not isolated cases either, the club must be encouraging it. So you've got to find a way of discouraging it. And for me, deducting points isn't the way. It's got to be through suspensions and fines, because deducting points will only get out of hand.
The greatest podcast series you've ever listened to. I really do not like making everything about me. This is an explicit adult rated show. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't be encouraging reckless drinking.
I feel really nervous now. Like, what have I let myself in for?
I'm Kyle West, and you can join me on my very own podcast series, The Kyle West Show, brought to you by The Compass Network, www.thecompassnet.com.
Speed predictions.
It's got to that point in the show where Kyle, Pete and I make our predictions ahead of the forthcoming fixtures for this weekend. We're going to start in the northeast, where Kyle has gone Sunderland 2, Southampton 1. I've gone Sunderland 0, Southampton 1. And Pete has gone Sunderland 1, Southampton 2. We're then off to the Emirates, where Kyle has gone Arsenal 3, Fulham 0. I've gone Arsenal 2, Fulham 0. And Pete has joined Kyle and gone with a 3-0 result to Arsenal. We're then at Crystal Palace, where Kyle has gone Palace 0, Stoke 1. I've gone Palace 2, Stoke 1. And Pete has gone Crystal Palace 2, Stoke City 1. Then we could almost guess any ridiculous scoreline as we head to the Etihad. Pete has gone straight in for 5 for Man City, Cardiff 0. Kyle has gone a little bit safer. He's gone Man City 4, Cardiff 1. Well, I've gone 4, Man City, Cardiff 0. We're then at Carrow Road, where Norwich face Hull. Kyle has gone Norwich 1, Hull 1. I've gone Norwich 1, Hull 2. And Pete again has agreed with Kyle and gone Norwich 1, Hull 1. We're then back in London, where we have West Ham versus Newcastle. Pete has gone West Ham 1, Newcastle 2. Kyle has gone West Ham 0, Newcastle 1. And I've gone West Ham 0, Newcastle 2. We're then going to Merseyside, where Pete has gone Liverpool 3, Villa 1. I've gone Liverpool 3, Villa 1. And Kyle has gone against the trend and gone Liverpool 4, Villa 2. We're then in Wales, where Swansea plays host to Tottenham. Kyle has gone Swansea 0, Tottenham 2. I have gone Swansea 1, Tottenham 1. And Pete has gone Swansea 1, Tottenham 2. And then the game of the week, I've already gone Chelsea 2, Man United 0. Kyle agrees with that scoreline, while Pete has gone for Chelsea 1, Man United 0. And the final game of the weekend, West Brom play host to Everton. Pete has gone West Brom 0, Everton 2. I've gone West Brom 2, Everton 3. And Kyle's gone for a 1-1 draw, West Brom 1, Everton 1.
Infamous writer, mentor, chicken lover, and self-proclaimed man-child, Tony Black presents The Black Hole.
For me, he's the nude Steven Spielberg.
A podcast exclusively on the Compass Network.
There are usually things happening that thrill me, and possibly you, at the same time. And just enjoy it for what it is, enjoy it for the escapism and the simple fun. That's a tall order, because I probably think I'm far more entertaining than I actually am.
To tune in, go to thecompassnet.com. Or search The Black Hole in iTunes.
Well, stick that in your pocket, smoke it.
The smaller topic we have for you this week is obviously the transfer market. That's right, we are in the January transfer window, the much-anticipated January transfer window. And so far, not a lot has happened. In fact, the biggest deal so far sees Nemanja Matic return to Chelsea from Benfica for a rumoured fee of £22 million, which in a deal doesn't really make much sense to me. He doesn't seem to be a player that's moved on enough to warrant returning to Stamford Bridge. However, I can kind of see sense in the deal. It was a player that Jose Mourinho brought in at his first stint at the club. It was a player that was let go and sold on while he was away, and you know, his second stint at the club, it seems that he's been brought back, and I guess time will tell whether he really justifies return to the club, particularly the transfer fee of £22 million. The only other really key deals that have been done is Shane Long has finally got his much anticipated deal out of West Brom. He joins Hull after rumours which has linked him with clubs such as Newcastle and Stoke and Cardiff and many others, but finally he's joined Hull for just over £7 million. Joining him is Nikar Jelovic from Everton, who's had a torrid time of it of late. Poor form has unfortunately dented his confidence, and we've not really seen the kind of form that he showed at Rangers and then in his first season at Everton, which perhaps sees him now leaving the club and joining Hull alongside Shane Long. The two of them obviously forming the new strike force for the Hull City Tigers as they look to push on in the Premier League. The only other deal really that's been done is a deal out of the club, and it's a reasonably low-key deal. Nicky Maynard leaves Cardiff for a free transfer as he joins Championship side Wigan as they look to push on and try and enter the Premier League. But so far, not a lot has happened. As I said, we're obviously waiting for more to happen, and I'm sure a big deal will come any day soon as Man United, Chelsea and Man City, as well as Arsenal, are all linked to big signings this January. However, it's likely to be a quiet window, and I suspect the real fun will happen when the window opens back in the summer. And that's all we've got time for this week on The Beautiful Game, the 20th episode, which is almost a landmark, really. We kept it short and sweet this week, but we'll be back hopefully very soon to bring you more predictions, more forecasts, and also more football news. And hopefully next time I'll be joined by Pete DeGaskell and Kyle West, who you can follow on Twitter at Kyle Thomas West, and Pete DeGaskell you can follow me on at DTT240991. And obviously, you can follow The Beautiful Game at soccer_podcast. You can also go to our website at www.thecompassnet.com. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.